Welcome to Getting Real, our locally produced radio show that dives deep into thought-provoking topics. Hosted by SJCC parishioners Al and Lynn Grassley, exploring how we best live out our faith in response to important issues and struggles of our day. So jump in and navigate the currents of conversation with Getting Real, where circumstance meets Catholic clarity. And now, your co-captains, show hosts Al and Lynn Grassley.
Welcome to Getting Real, where we talk about relevant issues and how to navigate them as Catholic Christians together.
Because let's face it, we're all going through stuff in our lives, our families, our community, but there's no need to walk it alone.
I am glad you joined us for honest conversations, encouragement, and a reminder that we're never alone on this journey on Getting Real.
Here on WSJF 92.7 Faith FM.
Well, Linda, what do you got in store for us tonight?
Well, we've been working on the sandwich generation.
Yes, we've had quite a lot of experience with that recently.
You're
going through it. And so what exactly is the sandwich generation, Linda?
Well, it is the individual who is still parenting with kids in their home and also caring for their parents who are aging. Yes.
So that is Linda to a T right there.
Stuck in the middle.
Yes. So
a lot of our friends are going through it. Yeah.
And it's, I'm having a hard time coping with it because my parents died young.
Right.
So this topic is really not applied to, I guess the only way it applies to me is I'm like now fifth on the list of important people in your life. You got, this is Linda's list. Her mom, her dad or mom, they're one and two. Mm-hmm. Then you got Matthew, who's still at home and she's trying to parenting. Then it's the dog, you know, because the dog needs a lot of help there. And then it's me. Those top four switch every now and then, but I'm stuck in fifth place.
I don't know about that, but I could understand why.
I'm just joking, Linda.
I know. It's hard. It's really hard being, you know, the caregiver for everybody. You know, as a mom, you want to help everybody.
Yes.
And it's not possible to help everybody all the time.
That is true.
So,
and you're a type A personality, so.
A little.
believe me, folks, she's type A. But anyway, so there's a method. You have a method that you'd like to try to apply to everybody to make sure you're not missing anything. And sometimes that just doesn't work out.
Right. Right. So, it takes a lot of patience and, understanding of each other. And like any difficult time in life, you know, you just have to do your best and know that you're doing your best for everybody.
Right.
So,
yeah. Now, do you have any statistics on how many people are going through
how
this?
Funny.
I know how you like to bring up.
How did you know that?
Just a crazy guess. When you gave me the episode about 5 minutes ago, the episode outline, I was like, there it was right there. The first page. It's always bold, first page. All right, so give me the statistics, Linda.
AARP and the National Alliance for Caregiving has some findings that 63 million Americans, almost one in four adults, provide ongoing care to others.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
In the past year. And then I was looking at how many people we have in the country. That's like 18% of the people are doing some kind of caregiving.
Right.
And, many of these people are doing it about 40 hours a week. And a third of those people have been doing it for 5 years.
Wow.
That's a long stretch. You know, I was thinking we were focusing on the sandwich generation, which we are a little bit, but more just helping our parents and older people in our lives. But it's one in three are caring for both their kids and their aging adults.
Wow. I think probably that has happened because, one, people are living longer, and two, people like us had kids later.
Right.
You know, so we still have a kid in the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Matthew's 18 and we're
older than 40.
Older than 40. Yeah, I'll say it.
We both turned 60 last year.
Yeah, we're both 60.
Yeah, so you think a little differently when you're that much older. I think, you know, we probably have less energy than 40-year-olds that are dealing with this,
yes,
right? And you also have that thought, like, what is it going to be like for our kids?
Right.
So the findings from AARP and National Alliance for Caregivers talks about the financial strain. Nearly half face debt, have to cut savings or struggle with basic expenses. And then, of course, the health effects. You know, I've been trying to give myself breaks and try to keep up with my routine and everybody else's routine best I can, because you do have a lot of stresses that you're not normally under when your loved ones are sick. And a little bit, because my dad was in the hospital, I was feeling isolated.
Yeah,
because I couldn't be around people.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, I mean, this is kind of for me, and you would get on me about this, but like if you are too busy, usually the first thing you cut is exercise.
Yeah.
Right, because right. It's like, it feels like, well, that's
A luxury, I think.
I guess I could skip a day, and then it's 2 days, then it's 3 days. And then, you know, that has some huge health benefits for the person who's exercising.
Oh, you're right. It's physical and emotional.
Yes, it helps
health,
you.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And that seems to be the first thing. Well, that's the first thing people, I think, cut is like, I could skip it today. I'm going to sleep in today because I don't want to go this morning, right?
Right, right.
You know, and that's really happened to you. And you have a routine that, pretty much the mornings, you do something.
Right. Yeah, and just to move. Otherwise, my body just seizes up. It's really important for me to keep that up.
It's been missing the last couple of weeks. So.
Right. I'm getting back to it. I'm getting back to it.
Yes, you are.
Minimal training. So only 1 in 10 receive medical instruction. And you really have to think about like what it is you need when you have to care for other people. The other thing is, I think a lot of people, and this is just my thought, is because they have this quote in the report. It says, family caregivers are the backbone of our health and long-term care systems. And I think that's gotten even greater with the advent of, like, because of COVID.
Right.
That so many very sad and horrible things happened in homes that a lot of families are saying, I'm not doing that again. Yes. Not going to do it again. And I think a lot of health providers of, you know, various levels and experience left because of a lot of things that happened were too difficult. You know, it seems better for your loved one to be in their home, age in place, or in with your home and that kind of thing. So a lot of it's really changed in recent years. So
what kind of training do you need? Is a kind of training like... oh, it's just a flesh wound. Don't worry about it. Or some kind of training, like just rub some dirt on it. It'll be good. That's what worked with me, Dad.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Okay. Some of the training. I mean, we've experienced some of it recently. And there's some really good resources locally that can help us with that. But let's talk about our faith, what our faith says about caring for our loved ones, caring for our kids.
Well, there's the big one. It's the fourth commandment. Honor your mother and father. I mean, remind Matthew of that pretty much daily.
I think he's got that one down.
Yeah, he's got that one down. I haven't had to do that in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I only have 9 commandments to follow now.
Oh.
So, you know, that's why I'm skipping around being kind of happy lately. But that's a big one. And I think you specifically want this to be like a pedestal type of thing. Like it's got to be perfect. Like sometimes you just need to be present. Being present with them is honoring them.
Yes. Yeah. The fourth commandment continues into adulthood. And like anything, it's not going to be perfect. And you can help them by just listening and being patient.
I know. I can't believe they don't listen to us. I mean... I guess turn it around. We don't listen to Matthew, why should they listen to us?
So they're one side of the bread, and then the kids are the other side of the bread.
Oh, I see the sandwich.
Yeah, we're in the middle. We're not the bread, Al.
I see.
That's
I got it
the
now.
Thing. So, but that honor is rooted in gratitude for the gift of life. you had something that you thought of with the the two sons.
The two sons. So this parable where Jesus, there's a father who goes by his one son and say, I'd like you to work in the field today. And the first son says, sure, I'll get right on that. And then he doesn't go. And then he goes to the second son and said, I'd like you to work in the field today. And his second son says, well, I'm not going to do that today, Dad. But then he does go out.
Mm-hmm.
So I always envision that kid or guy as grumbling a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, because I like to grumble, Linda.
Yes.
I'm sure he's saying, my older brother said he was coming out here. He's not here. Why am I stuck doing this? And, you know, when it gets into the hard part of honoring your parents and being there with them, you know, it's okay to grumble.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's just, it's your lot in life, I guess. I don't know.
Right. Well, there is a book. It's not in the script out.
No way. A book?
There's
really,
a
Linda?
Book, yes. That I read years ago when your mom was going through her battle with cancer. And it's called May I Walk You Home. It's by Joyce Hutchinson. She wrote these little 2 to 3 page stories about, she lost her husband, I think it was to cancer. So she was a caregiver to him when they were maybe in their 30s.
Wow.
And she, at the end of each one of these stories, has these beautiful reflections and prayers. But it's really understanding, this is about people who are going through death, but I think it really helps understanding the process and not dealing with it in silence or pretending things that aren't happening. It's really about dealing with it with a joyful heart. They have this analogy, you know, we're so joyful when a baby is born. But if you're a caregiver for someone who is dying, that's helping them through this process, the birth into eternal life.
I see.
It's really beautiful for us to all, no matter what you're dealing with, and even if you're not there yet, to read it. Because I don't think as a culture we're really good with death.
No.
But if you can read that, you know, if your parents are getting a little older, like we are, like 60, you know, maybe we should give this to our kids to read.
Is there a lot of words in this book, Linda?
No, they're really short chapters, you know.
That'd be good for me.
Yeah, it's perfect. It really is. And the prayers are beautiful. And it just helps you to think differently about treating someone with dignity and having patience and listening and all that.
That's really my cool downfall there, right there. I really don't have too much patience.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, now, so Linda, where are we in the script? This is, Linda went off script.
Oh, sorry about that.
Which is okay.
Well, now we're talking about discernment, like assessing the needs to take on this role as a sandwich generation, especially with your aging parents. And it really is having these conversations very early, like, you know, what physical needs you'll have as you're older, right?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of started talking about this with Matthew. Really, mm-hmm. he's very aware of what's going on and
right.
how much is going on. And, you know, sometimes you can't discern. Sometimes you're the only child or you're the child that's close by mm-hmm. that you're going to have to take care of your parents. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's no discernment. It's just like you got to figure out yourself, what's this going to look like? How am I going to balance this? Which, you know, we're all busy. Mm-hmm. And then you got something else thrown in there that you're not really expecting or not planning for.
Yeah, he asked the question, do you have enough to retire?
Who asked that?
Matt asked that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He wants like, we're all right. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
But we're going to be really old because we're old parents, so be ready to take care of us.
Yeah, that's right? Yeah, that's what he wants to hear.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, just thinking about simple physical needs like your meals and bathing and medications and safety, how you're going to transport mm-hmm. people, how safe their home is. But, you know, if you have to take that leap to really be a caregiver, what kind of medical coordination will you need? How are you getting medications, appointments? What happens in emergencies? Which hospital are you going to go to? Like my dad, he's COPD, and we know we want to go to Howard County. That's where the pulmonologists are that care for him, and they're on call. So you have to know these things ahead of time, what kind of support you can get, home health, you know, all those services that might come up at some point.
Right.
Start learning about it now. And then we talked a little bit about emotional needs for the caregiver, but also that person who's aging. I mean, there's a lot of fear and anxiety losing your spouse and,
yes.
you know, what's going to happen to me if I end up in a home and losing that independence. That's what I was saying. You know, my parents are still adults and they need to make decisions, and you want to help them and do what's best for them, but still the best thing for you to do is listen and maybe guide them, but not make the decisions for them if they're still able
lead
to.
Lead them to the way that you, lead them to the decision.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, speaking of hospitals, we actually used AI to figure out the best hospital for your dad, which is kind of funny.
The first trip,
which it actually turned out to be pretty reliable, actually.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just kind of gave the conditions and they told us availability, what kind of medical care they could provide for this specific situation. It was great. Yeah.
Yeah. We should have brought that up in our last episode about AI.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So before we go on, you are listening to WSJF 92.7 Faith FM.
And can we thank Dennis Kiszczyk for the music? So snappy. We love it.
It's perfect with the show.
Hi, Mark McGregor here. We hope you are enjoying the show. Al and Linda Grassley have put this show together, hoping to touch the spiritual lives of our listeners, taking a current topic about our faith or something in the news, exploring it, and asking the question, how do I respond to this as a Catholic? Please send feedback about the show, suggested topics, or comments on anything else you hear on WSJF to wsjf@stjoseph.cc. That email again is wsjf@stjoseph.cc. Let's continue getting real with Al and Lynn Grassley.
So now we're back from the break, Linda. What were you going to... I know you were just dying to say something before I cut you off with the break.
I know. Just thinking about spiritual needs. You know, if they need Eucharist, you know, maybe they can't leave the home or they're in the hospital, anointing of the sick. Even sometimes it might be a little awkward because our faith is so personal, but maybe making sure if they're at a hospital or a facility that you bring their Bible or, you know, write a little prayer passage for them, a scripture for them to have with them.
And I would say too, even if, you know, your parents are not like really into the faith, having your priest visit them like that, it really changes their mood.
It does.
First of all, it's somebody coming to visit, breaks up the monotony of the day if they're in the hospital. And, you know, they always have some words of wisdom.
Right.
And they're most priests are very patient and understanding.
Yeah.
So.
They deal with that kind of stuff.
All the time. That's right. Yeah, it's part of the deacon training, Linda.
Yes.
Before you get in there. So.
Well, we did talk about, you know, caring for your parents and yourself. You know, if you go to the gym and that's a good outlet for you, make sure you do that. Make sure you have some friends that you can talk to. Keep up your prayer life.
Yeah, that's friends are definitely, you have a good friend group going.
I do.
You know, you got a friend chat group that knew more about what's going on. I got secondhand. I got the news secondhand from my buddy's wife who's on Linda's chat.
Yes.
He called me up and he goes, hey, what's it? Your father-in-law's doing this? I'm like, what? Nobody told me that.
Well, also remembering to protect your marriage. You know, we've struggled for the last several weeks with my dad being in the hospital and rehab and just trying to make that time. We had actually planned a day away.
And then
my dad ended up in the hospital.
Yes, yes.
But we made up for it a little later, but just trying to keep connected.
Yeah, so this is hard to believe coming from me, but if your spouse is going through that with their parents or your spouse's parents, try to be patient. We had a couple of, how would you say it?
Stressful moments?
Stressful conversations, I would say.
Yeah.
And that was basically me being, you know, well, I just want my wife back. It's like, right. Come on, you married me, Linda.
I know.
But
then, and I sensed that, and I was thinking, you know, I just need to think of all of the blessings that you've given me in this time to care for my parents. So I'm like, I just have to recognize all the things he is doing for me, even though he's frustrated with this piece of it.
Yeah.
You know, thank you for getting that meal together. Thank you for filling my mom's car up with gas when I didn't have time to. And I mean, you work full time, so I can't expect you to do all of this stuff, but I do understand that when I'm not around, it makes everybody's life harder. So.
And just don't tell anybody like I did laundry and mopped the floor and did, don't tell anybody that. So keep the house clean. Linda likes to have the house clean. So
well, that's a lost cause now. But
it's still going.
Yeah. So I think we can go right to caring for the caregiver.
So that's me caring for you.
I guess.
I mean, what do you mean you guess? I think I thought I've been doing a really good job. Let me pat myself on the back here. I know you can't see it. Yes, I can reach. So let me pat myself on the back. Good job, Al. Good job.
Yeah, if you know people who are going through this, like there's been people who have said, oh, you know, I've been through this before. I have a very close friend in the medical field, and both her parents were in a facility, and she visited them frequently, and she has a lot of knowledge of the stuff going on, but she's reached out to me, and
yeah,
I'm so grateful for that. And other friends that have been through it with their parents, even though they're not in the medical field. Like, I understand, you know, where right. you're going. Remember to take care of yourself, or if there's anything I can do. Don't be afraid to take somebody's help.
Yes.
Which, you know, I'm not good at that.
No, you're not good at that. So, and two, you know, I've listened to a couple podcasts on this. And it's always like people say, oh, it's just a season in life. And I find myself doing this to parents who have young kids. It's like, just a season in life. Enjoy it. And it's right. like, and the parents look at you like, you don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
Because you're in the mix of it. You're in the
mix of it.
You're right. in the mix of it. And you can't see the other side. So I don't know how people take that. But just being present with somebody who's going through it without giving him a lecture, like, don't worry about this.
Right. But also, you know somebody who's going through it and you've been through it, just to give them some words of encouragement are helpful. Making a meal, you know, maybe grabbing groceries for them, or, you know, something that really might be, you seem like something little for you to do can be a big help when you have so much going on.
It could affirm your vocation of being in the sandwich generation.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely. So.
Yes, so funny. But, so there's one of these other things. When parents decline or reject what you're saying or advising, you know, you can't. My sister said this, like, there's things that are just not your fault. There are things that you can't control. You just have to let it go. Like, somebody that has a chronic disease, it's not your fault. Like,
right.
You know, you can't control that. You have to accept what you can't fix or what you can't control in aging. You just have to accept that this is, you know, part of life. This is part of the walk home. So.
Right. It's the, it's their journey.
Right.
It's not yours.
It's not yours. And so, you know, I'm just trying to guide. I'm trying to be better listening, better patience. And, you know, if they make a decision I don't like, it's their decision. And I just have to help them through that. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then focusing on accompaniment, just being present, not perfect, just being that shoulder that they can lean on and
right.
all of that. So. So you asked about training.
Yes, training. Just rub some dirt on it. That'll take care of it. That'll fix it, Linda.
Well, the Bureau of Aging in our county and in the state of Maryland, there's a lot of different classes. You can take a lot of them are virtual. I took one called Powerful Tools for Caregivers, and it's a 6-week series. You log in once a week for 6 weeks, and it's an hour and a half workshop. And it really tells you how to take care of yourself, the person you're helping, their physical and emotional needs, how you can be a better caregiver for them, and different exercise habits, physical and mental. And then just it really helped me increase my confidence in helping my parents just realizing that I am just coming alongside them to help them, not solving all of the problems.
Yeah, you don't have to take over the situation, right?
Right,
You just have to be there with them.
And if you want to go online on CarrollCountyMD.gov, they have other classes for, like there's one going on right now on chronic conditions, how to help people in those. There's diabetes and all sorts of things. So they have classes a lot. So, and the state level does as well. So you can kind of peek at that.
Right. And, you know, wrapping up, I think we should point out that the earlier you have these conversations, the better off it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like if everybody's in good health and you sit down and kind of discuss things like what, how, you know, how do you see, I mean, I don't really like looking too much into the future because we had enough worries for today, Linda.
Yeah.
Worry about tomorrow, but maybe, you know, just have a conversation while everybody's in good health. And sometimes, you know, your parents might not want your help. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about that right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you just got to roll with it.
Pace it.
That goes back to the fourth commandment. You just got to honor your parents. Yeah. Unfortunately, even if they're wrong, you have to honor them.
Yeah. Well, it's been interesting. You know, your parents think you're young. Mm. Your kids think you're old.
Yes.
In the sandwich generation. We have all the technology issues where, you know, dad's trying to figure out why he can't click on things because all these pop-ups are coming up.
Right.
Who knows where they came from?
Who knows?
And then you have your kid trying to manage the traps of social media.
Yes, there's extremes from one end to the other.
Matt's studying for tests, and mom and dad are looking at their blood work.
Yeah, they're looking at their blood work tests. So that's the funny part of it. I will say though, I think like what you've gone through with your parents, I think you've become closer to your parents.
Yeah, and I'm really understanding. Oh gosh, what we're gonna face soon, babe?
No, we're not. Don't worry about that. So.
Well, we know a lot of people are in the same boat. I've been in the same boat that Al has been in, that I have been in.
Right.
And, you know, we just have to ask Christ for our patience and working out the balance in our marriages and our relationships with our kids and our parents and for the peace as we care for those who once cared for us.
Yeah. That was beautifully said, Linda. I think we should end the episode right here and now with those beautiful things. So.
Well, I hope you glean something from this, and hopefully you'll listen to us next month as well, where we're going to talk about the grandparents' role with our grandkids and their faith. Yeah.
Oh, geez. You blew it now. I know the episode before we get here.
I'm gonna, now you got to think about it all month long and contribute.
Well, we hope you got something out of it. And just remember, you know, whatever you're going through, somebody else is probably going through it too here at this church. We've got a big church. And reach out to somebody if you're really struggling.
Yeah. And reach out to those that you know that are struggling, because we're all going through stuff. And we're all here. We don't want to be alone in it.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Getting Real with our hosts, Al and Lynn Grassley. We hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks to the Grassleys for their preparation, recording, and production of the show, along with Mark McGregor, who served as the recording engineer. Stay tuned to WSJF 92.7 FM, where we are always getting real.